I was thinking when our brother Dick was speaking about presenting our bodies as a holy sacrifice unto the Lord. And I thought, Brother Dick, without taking from your message, that in chapter 5, we have the therefore of justification. And in chapter 8, 1, the therefore of sanctification. And we come to 12, 1, is the therefore of consecration. Well, what struck me was the body. And it made me think of the Lord in the beginning of the Epistle to the Hebrews. I'm speaking mostly extemporaneously because I had no idea getting up until the brother nudged me. In the beginning of Hebrews, in chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And Brother Dick's word on the body made me think of this verse, when he had by himself. And that word himself takes in body, soul, and spirit. And that is exactly what we have in Romans 12 and 1. That God just doesn't want your body, he wants all of you. And that's what you, if you're reasonable, it's what he's expecting. It's not something that you might or might not do, it's what God expects of each one of us. That we present our bodies, soul, and spirit completely unto his service. Well, here it says that the Lord himself, when he had by himself purged our sin, and I like that. When he had by himself, he was alone. Oh, Solomon, all alone, in solitary might, when God the Father's only Son expires, amazing sight. The Lord of glory, crucified, the Lord of life, has bled and died. When he had by himself purged our sin. And you know what purge means? It means to clean out completely. And Dick said something about a wife, so I better put mine down, I'll make talk too long. When he had by himself, and I like this, he was alone, and he purged our sins completely. He cleansed them, he put them away. You know, in the Old Testament, sin was covered up by the millions of sacrifices which the priests made. But when we come to the New Testament, it says that in the 9th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, he put away sin. Out of sight. They cannot be seen. The precious blood has covered it. And God cannot see. You mean to say that Almighty God can't see my sins? He who is omniscient, omnipotent, and he can't see my sins? No! Because the Son of God, the Lord of glory, by himself, cleansed them, put them away, and even God himself can't see it. Oh, you see, I can't understand that. Neither can I. But I believe it. And that's the thing that we were having this morning in the reading. Faith. And faith is to believe. To believe completely what God sees. But here It's the cross. And it bothers me when I hear brethren preaching the gospel and they make a great deal of the Lord's, the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet and the lashing on his back. They were all terrible. They were terrible. And he felt every one of them just as much as you or I would. But that's not atonement. No atonement was when he by himself, hanging there during those 3 hours of darkness, and Almighty God laid on him the Lord of glory, all your sins and all mine, and judged him. And he paid the price completely. And it was so awful. That darkness, that forsaking, that aloneness, that he cried out in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Himself, there was no one else there. By himself, he purged our sins. Do you know that? Do you believe that? My brother Dick said that he was asking somebody for the same. And my brother Webb mentioned asking another man and he said he stopped smoking and he stopped drinking. He might as well stop eating for all the good it would do him. As nothing can do a sinner any good but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can cleanse him from all sin. Do you like that? Not some of your sins. And you don't get a little bit. There was a man came here many years ago. He was a French professor and he had something that he said, you keep on saying to yourself, I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better every day. And yet you get better and better. But something went wrong. He up and died. So I don't think that his philosophy was of much good. But when you come to the Lord Jesus and confess yourself as a poor, hell-deserving sinner and look to him and accept him as your own personal Savior, you're not getting a little better. You're completely righteous. You're justified from all sin. Or you don't get better and better. Or its salvation gets better and better. The older you get, the better it will. It's like, this the old wine gets better. I wouldn't know. But I know that salvation gets better and better. And you say, well, how is it? There was an old Scottish lady. There's not a lot of Scots here today, you know. Brother Robert says I'm an apostate Scot. The old Scottish lady was asked how did it feel to be saved? And she said, well, it's better tell than tell. By himself, he purged our sins. Now, in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, I'm not going to turn to all these scriptures because I might go over the time. And the 15th verse, the two men, the 24th of Luke, the man and his wife, Theophilus and his wife, had left Jerusalem and they were going down to Emmaus. And did you ever notice, when you leave the place of God's gathering, it's always going down. Always going down. When you're going away from the place where God had placed his name. And they were walking along with their heads down and they were moaning and groaning. How people get down, don't you? Remember that man by the well in the 5th of John? And the Lord went up and said, what's the matter with you? Would you like to be healed? Oh, he said, I haven't got a friend in the world. I've got nobody to help me.
As soon as the angel comes down and somebody beats me to it, and nobody loves me, and I haven't got a friend. And there was the greatest friend in the world standing beside him, saying, would you like to be healed? Well, the Lord doesn't even get put off by that. And that man got healed. But those two were something like that. They were moaning and groaning. And oh my, a lot of us are like that. We're always moaning and groaning about something. Brother so-and-so said this about me. Like the fourth chapter of Philippians, where Sister Ordeus and Sister Soon-Touchy couldn't get along together, you know. But they were going down away from Jerusalem, and they said, oh, we thought this, and we thought that, and we thought it was going to be wonderful. We would get rid of the Romans, and everything would be hunky-dory and ordeal. And it says that the Lord himself, oh, I like that, the Lord himself drew near. And it says that in the fourth of Philippians. The Lord is at hand. And it doesn't mean his coming. It means that he's near. Nearer than a brother. And he... Oh, what a reading meeting that must have been. It says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And don't let anybody tell you that the Old Testament doesn't speak of Jesus. It's full of him. It was said of the Scottish Covenanters that they found the Lord Jesus in every verse in the Bible. Well, I can't see anything wrong with that. I like to find the Lord in the book and learn of him and tell him how I love him. Oh, you know, in the morning meeting, it grieves me to hear somebody getting excited about the salvation. You don't come to the morning meeting to remember your salvation, to remember your blessings, or anything else. You come to remember him, the Lord of glory. You come to remember that he died on the cross. You come to remember him, and we're to be occupied with him. In the 12th chapter of this epistle that we're going to look at tomorrow, it says, consider him. And in Psalm 45 and in Psalm 96, it says, worship thou him. Not be occupied with your needs or your blessing. And the Lord drew near to them, and he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. My, that must have been beautiful. Oh, wouldn't it have been lovely to be there? Well, they're going to be there with himself. And he's going to tell us all wonderful things. You know, some folks think, I wonder what we'll do in heaven. I'm not bothered about what we're going to do. I'm going to see him. Himself. And what more could you ask for than to see the Lord of glory and tell him, Lord, I love you. We don't do this enough, you know. We want to tell him that we love him. And we worship him. You know, the very first people that came when he was born fell at his feet and worshipped him. And the last verse of this book of the Gospel of Luke, the last verse says, and they lift up as he left them and ascended into glory, and they worshipped him. The wise men came and they worshipped him. Not Mary. That's why they're called wise men. Because they worship him. Not Mary. Well, there's another himself, and I'll quote it, found in the first chapter, the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And you know, this is the Lord himself. Oh, I like that. He's not going to send an angel for you and I. He's going to come down himself. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Oh, what a blessed hope. You know, when I first started flying, and I hadn't been saved so long, but I used to think, now, when I'm up here, if the Lord comes, I'm going to get to jump on all these other folks, I'm going to be there first. But we're all going to go together, and we're going to meet himself in the air. Isn't that lovely? When he had by himself purged our sins, put them away out of sight forever, they'll never be brought up against us again. And he himself draws near, and how very near, and he comes nearest when we lowest down. And he himself is to descend from heaven with a shout and seek them up, my fair one, and come away. And if you read in the Song of Solomon, it says that we, and it's always, we've raptured his heart. Can you imagine that? Us. We've raptured the heart of the blessed Lord of glory. And he says he's coming himself and to receive us unto himself. Oh, isn't he altogether wonderful? No wonder we sing hallelujah. What a Savior.